Grunstein, 9:19 on a Wednesday morning. Welcome back to our Friday Shkolo on Zoom, and take it away, Rabbi Yeshua.
A good morning to everyone. It's
you have to
a
unmute yourself. You're muted. Rabbi Yeshua, you have to unmute.
Good morning. Do you hear me?
Yes, now we do.
Okay. First of all, it's a pleasure to be back. As many of you know, I was unfortunately very sick for the last month and a half, and I'm happy that I'm able to finally give the shiur again. The only consolation I had was the fact that even though I was in bed and at home, the majority were as well, and therefore I didn't feel I was alone. But everyone was imo anochi betzara, just like a Kaddish Baruch Hu goes out to Golos with the Jewish people. So too, Baruch Hashem, even though I was the only one sick in the family, I felt that everyone was sick because everyone was home, and all of you as well. So it's at least beautiful, and I give a lot of hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I'm able to give the shiur this morning, and I hope for many years to come. What I wanted to speak about today, because it's our first shiur after Pesach, is the halachic psakim, the halachic piske halacha that became germane in the last month. Rav Soloveitchik once said that there's certain parts of Jewish law that unfortunately is like a mate mitzvah. What's a mate mitzvah? A mate mitzvah is a body that's in the middle of the road and no one's burying it, and therefore you have an obligation. Even if you're the Kohen that's about to work in the Beis HaMikdash, you have an obligation to defile yourself and go ahead and bury that body. Indeed, there are parts of halacha that we barely look at because they're not relevant. They're part of Torah, we should be learning them, but quite frankly, since they're irrelevant, then we don't learn them. What's the primary example of that?
Korbanot,
says Dr. Savir, and correct, to be more precise. Unfortunately, shuls closed on the week of Vayakel Pekudei. I have yet to hear someone tell me, "Oy, I missed Vayakel Pekudei. I would love to have laid that beautiful parsha with all its measurements and the gold and the silver." With due respect, the bottom line is that they ultimately was a situation where we don't build the Beis HaMikdash today, so therefore to go ahead and to say that we miss it is very difficult, and therefore Tisha B'Av is always difficult to fast and to feel the mourning because we never had a Beis HaMikdash. But above and beyond Korbanos, there are certain laws that could be relevant that aren't relevant, Baruch Hashem, but in the last month they were. So let's go through a few of them together because I think we're going to lose the chance of ever learning them, because they're very irrelevant, Baruch Hashem, and they should stay that way. Let's begin with the beginning. Very simple laws. How many of you had what we call a minyan mirpasot, a minyan on porches? No one. You did, Dr. Savir. So,
if I
read
it, you're dominating?
Mm-hmm.
Do they have it in Zayrin and has it?
No, but during the, when you couldn't have a minyan.
Oh, when you couldn't? Well, how about in the lobby for Minchat Maariv?
We have them on the streets here in the Geffen. They are in the streets. Many are not going, maybe to David at home, and some are catching these street minyanim.
Exactly. So, in general, those minyan mirpasot are indeed, I'm not going to go into it, but the bottom line is that it's based on two deot and Shulchan Aruch. One day it says that if you see the other person, even though you are not in the same room with them, or to be more precise, halachically, you're not in the same reshut entity with them, you join the minyan. The other day it says, no, you have to be in the same room, and you have to be under the same roof. In general, we don't have this problem, because when you make a minyan, be it in shul, or be it at a wedding, or be it at a bar mitzvah, we're standing together, we're under the same roof. But in the last month, because of what we've been going through, we weren't. And therefore, that particular day in Shulchan Aruch became very relevant. Do we paskin that way? If we don't paskin that way, can we use that particular point of view in this Sha'at HaDchak? So that's issue number one, which became relevant in the last month. Issue number two, and I'm not going from severe to non-severe, not Dr. Severe, severe in terms of a severity in halacha, but to be more precise, I'm just going to go in order. Number two, Friday nights in shuls, after we finish the Amidah, we don't go and say Kaddish Titkabe like we do every night, but rather, what do?
Magen Avot.
We say Magen Avot. Magen Avot was started based on the Gemara in Brachot and later Paskin in Shulchan Aruch. It was instituted for the people that unfortunately came late to shul, and because they came late to shul, they would have gone home on their own. In order to prevent that from happening, in order to ensure that these people would not be going home alone, they made davening a touch longer so they can catch up and walk home with others and not be in the sakana, in the danger of walking home at home alone at night when unfortunately there was danger. So today we continue doing this, even though it could very well be that the reason of the takana is no longer relevant. But like many minhagim and takanot, even if the reason is not relevant, we continue to do it, like Yom Tov Sheni and many others. So the question arises, if we do have a minyan mirpasot, or we have some sort of a minyan, but it's not kavua, it's not permanent, do we continue to say Magen Avot? The Psak in Shulchan Aruch is no. If you have a minyan on a Friday night, let's say you have a bar mitzvah, you have 10 people in the hall, and you're going to make a minyan Friday night just for them, the answer is you don't say Magen Avot. And indeed, because it's a halacha that we barely use, I've seen many minyanim that do say it because they just didn't know. It's not like they made a conscientious decision to say it, but rather they just don't know that you're not supposed to say it without a minyan. What do you have?
What if that minyan is kavua? Like every Friday night or Shabbat in that apartment building in the lobby, that's where they tend to make their minyan. Older people, whatever.
If it is kavua, then of course the debate will be, is it good enough to have a permanent minyan or do you have to have a permanent shul? In my opinion, if you have a minyan every Friday night in this particular place, I think that would be grounds to indeed ensure that the minyan continues. And ultimately, you can say Magen Avot. If a minyan is there every Friday night, I believe it's okay to say Magen Avot. But the minyan is now, as we know, not permanent because we hope to get back to shuls. Then I don't think yet you should say Magen Avot. It's a bracha levatola, perhaps, and therefore it shouldn't be said. What do you say? The Gemara in Masechet Shabbos says, and we discussed it here many years ago, how you have to say three times on a Friday night the psukim of Vayechulu through Asher Bara Elokim La'asot, which we usually do. We say it in the Amida, and they say it in the Magen, right before the Magen Avot, after the Amida, and then we say it in Kiddush. So those are the three times. In general, why do we say it three times? Why not twice, four times? So I'll go in order. The first one, say it, it's part of davening. Just like on Rosh Hashanah, when you make a statement, you prove it with psukim. On Friday night, you make a statement, Atakidashta et Yom HaShvi'i, you sanctify the seventh day, and right afterwards you say, I'm going to prove it, and you say, Vayechulu. Shabbos morning, Yismach Moshe b'matnat chelko, you got the Torah, and in the Torah it says Shabbos, as it says v'shamru. That's the first time. The second time, not so sure what we say it. The third time it's part of Kiddush. The Gemara said you're supposed to say it three times, and it seems that the second time we say it, technically, was because on a yontiv, as everybody knows, we don't say Vayechulu in the Amida. So if a yontiv comes out on a Friday night, we don't say Vayechulu in the Amida of yontiv. We mention Shabbos, we don't say Vayechulu. So that's like a makeup for the Vayechulu we didn't say in the Amida. But three times in halacha is extremely important because we have it many, many times. That you do something three times, it's considered kavua. It's considered permanent, and it's like something that you can't go ahead and disprove. For example, does anyone remember Ataras Nedarim on Erev Rosh Hashanah? Or even Kol Nidre on Yom Kippur night?
Three times.
We're in the middle of Sfirat HaOmer. When they went and cut the wheat or the barley for the Omer, they used to say everything three times. Like, should I take this corkscrew? Should I take this particular pitch knife? Should I do it? And goes on and on and on with three times.
Kiddush, when you say Makudush, when they had the angel for Kiddush Levana, don't you say Makudush for Kiddush?
Correct. Harold mentions that when they used to Mekadesh the Chodesh al Piyariyah, they would say three times that the month is indeed sanctified. The reason for all these three times is that in every case it could be a Hava Amina, assumption that maybe it's not true. For example, when you go ahead and you say that the month is sanctified, basically what you're doing is you're saying that the month is sanctified by the Jewish people seeing the moon, and not so much by the calendar. Though you could have said, we don't need the moon, we have a calendar. Same thing with Hatarat Nedarim. Hatarat Nedarim is not written anywhere in the Torah. The Torah talks about not Hatarat Nedarim, but in Parshat Matot, the Torah talks about Hafarat Nedarim. Hatarat Nedarim, namely you made the neder and we're going to now exempt you from it, it's not written anywhere in the Torah. As a matter of fact, the Gemara says that it's something talui ba'avir. It's like, how can I say this nicely? It's like you're standing in thin air and you don't have legs. Namely, there's no psukim to base on. So you would have had an assumption that you can't do a Torah's Nedarim. Kamash Malan, from the fact that you can go ahead and you can do it, that it's halachically sound. You could have said, there's no God in the world. God we don't see. God is hiding. As a matter of fact, because God is hiding, he's a kel mistater, as we say in one of the Zmiros of Shabbos. Many people think he doesn't exist. Kamash Malan, we say Vayichulu, God exists. He created the world in 6 days, and the seventh day he rested. So anytime you see three times in halacha, usually it's because it's an assumption to the contrary. So, to get back to our story after this commercial break, when you daven in a minyan that's not kavua, you don't say Magin Avot on a Friday night. However, Vayechulu, you should say, because you're supposed to say it three times, as the Gemara in Shabbos says, that whoever says it three times, many great things would happen to that person. Further, Kriyas HaTorah. Every particular holiday, Monday, Thursday, Shabbos, is Ben Ashar, celebrated with Kriyas HaTorah. Do we read the Torah when we don't have a minion? Anyone want to guess?
No.
Why not? Can you take out a Torah and read it right now? It's a Wednesday, there's no minyan. Two strikes against you. Why not? Why not? As a matter of fact, the original...
It's not covered for the sake of the Torah to say it out and read it if you don't have people to hear it.
Why not? Is it not covered if you're taking it out and reading it to yourself?
You're taking it out for a study session.
Correct.
If you read Shema at the wrong time. Shema at the wrong time is study.
If indeed you take out a Torah and you read from it and you learn from it, there's no Isser whatsoever involved. There are Isserim involved, which we'll get to, but it has to do with taking out the Torah not to read it, or to take the Torah to people to read it, but we'll get to that in a moment. In general, if you have a Torah at home, you can take it out and you can learn from it. As a matter of fact, that's the reason why the Rosh says that today we don't have an obligation to write a Torah for ourselves. The Psukim are very clear in Parshat Nitzavim, Vayelech Va'atem Kitvu Lachem Et Ashira Azot, Paskin by the Rambam and every other Sefer HaMitzvot, that we have an obligation to write a Sefer Torah, to have a personal Sefer Torah. The Rosh comes and says, today that's not relevant because we fulfill the commandment by virtue of having Sfarim. The whole idea was to learn from the Sefer Torah, and if we're not going to learn from it, we're going to learn from a Mishnah, a Gemara, an art scroll, or whatnot, the reason is no longer relevant, and therefore you can mekayim the mitzvah by virtue of having Sfarim. But if you do take out a Sefer Torah, it's obviously okay, because that was the reason for the whole takana. Make a long story short, there's no problem to get a Torah and learn from it. However, we don't say Baruch Hu and the Brachos before and after unless we have a minyan. That's a Mishnah in Masechet Megillah, Daf Kaf Gimel Amud Bet, and it's Paskind in Shulchan Aruch, that only if you have a minyan do you have even an obligation to lain. In other words, on Parshat Zachor, if for some reason you were sick at home, you have an obligation to say Parshat Zachor, albeit you can only do it in a minyan. So you have to think of ways of making it up. However, one second, Bruce, if we're talking about Kriyas HaTorah of a Monday, Thursday, Shabbos, Yontif, fast days, Chanukah, Purim, only if you happen to find yourself in a minyan that morning or afternoon, then you have an obligation to lain. But when we're at home, we don't have an obligation to lain. Yes, Bruce?
For people who, let's say, they're in a hospital and their norm permanently would be a Zoom minyan, would they have the same halachas? Would it apply to them just as if they're in a shul?
The Zoom minyans is a misnomer. There's no minyan you can make on Zoom. As I said earlier, we can talk about having a minyan where I see the other person, and yet we're not in the same entity. We're not in the same apartment or in the same roof. But a Zoom minyan, by definition, we're not in the same place, so therefore to call it a minyan is a misnomer. It's not a minyan. The only, so to speak, heter that's involved in the Zoom minyan, Rav Melamed said this, and I authenticated it, is that you can say Kaddish. The reason for it is there's no brachot levatala. But even Rav Melamed acknowledged it's not a minyan, and therefore he said you can't say Baruch Hu, you can't say Kedusha, you can't say Shem Shamayim levatala. So it's not a minyan with Zoom. It's a nice thing, because it does, and I will get to it in a moment, fulfill another halacha, which we'll get to. But let's continue with Kriyas HaTorah. So there's no obligation, it's a Chovat HaTzibur, not a Chovat HaYachid, and therefore if you don't find yourself in a minyan, like many of us don't, during this time, you don't have an obligation to lane, and I'll be even more precise, you don't have an obligation to make up the laning. The last time we laned a Parsha in Shul was Parsha Vayakel Pekudei, as I mentioned. So we missed Vayakel Pekudei, Vayikra, Tzav, perhaps even this week, Shmini. Now we're going into Tazria Mitzorah. That's four Parshas. So if a minyan was together and they didn't have a Sefer Torah, then perhaps they have to make it up, because they were obligated, albeit they couldn't fulfill their obligation. Say you're in Shul on a Thursday, and you're davening, Vayihi bin Soa Aharon. There's two embarrassing things that can happen when you read the Torah. One is, you try to take out the Torah and the Aron Kodesh is locked. And the other is, when someone asks you to do Hagbah, and you say no, which means that the Gabbai thinks you're a weakling. Those are the two most embarrassing moments in Shul. The Gabbai who didn't open up the Aron Kodesh, and getting Hagbah when you don't have the muscles. Am I correct? Anyone disagree? One gentleman even told me he's happy that he's davening at home because he's always worried of getting Hagbah. Well, make a long story short, if indeed we have a minyan and we just don't have a Torah, we have to make it up. Maybe we have to make it up at Mincha. However, if you're not davening in a minyan, you never had an obligation in the first place. So I don't think any of us have to make up the Kriyas HaTorah we so-called miss, because we didn't miss it. Having said that, if indeed you have a minyan, you should read the Torah. Which begs the question, well, how exactly are we going to do that with social distancing? Assuming we have a Sefer Torah. And we're going to do minyans by porches. So everyone's on their porch, they all see each other. And now we have a Torah on one of the porches. So we take out the Torah, we sing Vayihi bin Soa Ha'aron, we put it down on a table. How do we do aliyahs? According to the rules and regulations of social distancing, we can't get near the Torah. Two people can't get near each other. So how exactly are we going to do it? So I have to admit, this has become a very important question for many people, because on the surface, if you can't, you can't. But many people want to continue their daily lives, what we call shigra, consistency, and therefore they feel it's extremely important to continue reading the Torah, because it gives some sort of a consistency. So on this level, there's two points of view out there today. One, Rav Asher Weiss Shlita said, and that is that he believes that you have to see the text of the Torah in order to make the bracha, like we usually do. And therefore, he said, only the Baal Korah should get an aliyah. Or if he's living in the house with two bar mitzvah boys, they should get all the aliyah. So you have seven aliyahs. You constantly go ahead and recycle. Recycling is important, correct? Many rabbis recycle their speeches. Have you heard of such rabbis?
And again, Zoom doesn't count for any of this, right?
No.
Zoom doesn't apply.
I'll get to Zoom in a moment. So you recycle the aliyahs, Kohen, Levi, Yisrael. You don't have a Kohen, a Levi. Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi, the people in the house, and Revi, Chamishi, Shishi, etc. That's what basically we do. We recycle the people to get aliyahs, because recycling is extremely important in the world of global warming, and of course, we're very sensitive to that. Very nice. That's Rav Asher Weiss. He then has a problem, because it's Paskin and Shulchan Aruch, that even though there's no Isser, a father shouldn't get an aliyah after his sons, and vice versa. It's an Ayin Hara. He says, with due respect to Ayin Hara, we're in a part of Shaat Adchak, we don't have to worry about Ayin Haraz. Indeed, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, there's no Isser involved. That's one point of view. The other point of view is Rav Sternbuch, who is the posik of the Eda Charedis, lives in Har Nof. We quoted him many times in this year. He suggests that you don't have to see the text of the Torah lechatchila, in order to get an aliyah. So everyone can get an aliyah from their porch without seeing the text of the Torah. I suggested to people to do some sort of a shiluf. If it's three aliyahs, like at Mincha or Monday or Thursday, I think it's okay. Kohen, Levi, Yisrael, whatever it is, the people in the house. But on Shabbos, I suggested that after the third aliyah, perhaps Revi, Chamishi, Shishi, Shvi, you should give to other people. The reason I said that was, if Rav Asher Weiss's idea is perhaps not correct, it's a bracha levatala to get an aliyah again and again and again. But then again, as I said, these are the two gedolim that mentioned it, and indeed, I believe that it's okay to do either. Having said that, everyone should know...
You get an aliyah and then you just walk away if you can't lane from it?
You get an aliyah from the place you're standing.
What happens if the outside minyan that we have now?
Exactly. To get an aliyah from the place...
No, not on the port. You're in a park.
If you're in the park and you can't get close to the Sefer Torah, Rav Sternbuch says, make the aliyah from wherever you're standing, as long as you see the Baal Korah and the Torah. You don't have to be right next to it.
What happens if it's a small print of a Sefer Torah? You can't see the print.
That's exactly Rav Sternbuch's point of view. You don't have to see the print, l'chadchila. It's a nice idea. We do it all the time. But you don't have to. As a matter of fact, you also don't have to read along with the Baal Korah. That's also something that it's a chumrah, it's written in Shulchan Aruch, and many of us do it, but quite frankly, it's not needed. So in this situation, which is a Shahad Adchak, that's what he says. You should know, however, that one of the two chief rabbis of Israel did say that the whole Mir Pasot Binyan is a misnomer, and it's Aser to daven that way, and whoever Paskin that way is a radio rabbi with no Yirat Shamayim. I won't say which of the two chief rabbis said it, I just think it's a terrible thing to say at this time. Here we are, united to fight the corona, and rabbis are fighting with each other. And I find that to be extremely distasteful, to say the least. But you should know he said it, and therefore if someone says the Mirpasot Minyan I don't believe is a minyan, I can hear it. However, for those that say that it is, these are the two ways to give aliyahs for Kriyas HaTorah. Moving on. If indeed you don't have a minyan. Oh, by the way, I forgot. If indeed now 19 people can be together in a minyan, I want to pre-warn everyone that it means 19 people in an open space with 2 meters between them. My biggest fear this week is not the minyans during the week. My fear is Shabbos. I don't see a situation where A, after 19 people, they're going to say, don't stand here. B, I don't see a situation where a father comes to shul on time, he's there at 8:30, and his two sons come at 9:15, and he says, get out of here, we're already 19 people. I really see Shabbos, and I see it forthcoming, that it's going to be a balagan, and all the achievements of not having the graph go up are not going to be kept, unfortunately, simply because... it's going to be very difficult to tell people not to come to shul. Our whole life, all we do is encourage people to come to shul. I really fear Shabbos. I don't know what's going to happen. I think it's going to be one big balagan. And therefore...
Well, I'm suggesting this is when the 20th guy shows up that they create two minyanim. What I've seen on this street is they just the extra people just stand a little further away and they're joining in, but they're just not close enough. There's no chashash there.
So if everyone was an adult... If everyone was an adult and everyone came to shul on time, I don't see a problem. The problem's going to be when the chazan starts davening in Kes Kedusha and number 20 and 21, who's standing further away, doesn't hear it. So he comes closer. What are you going to do? Tell him to leave?
Can't hear you.
We didn't hear you.
Once again, do you hear me now?
Yeah.
If indeed you have a minyan of 19 people, everyone's an adult, and number 20 and 21 and 22 are standing off to the side, and you get to Kedusha and they don't hear, or you get to Kaddish and they don't hear, what's going to stop them from coming closer? And what's going to stop you from saying to them, no, you can't come closer, and they're going to say back, go take a hike? I don't know what's going to stop them. They don't have to listen to you, and they won't. Number two, let's talk about the next issue. So you have 19 people in a minyan, and now the father came to shul on time and his two sons come late. I don't foresee a situation where he tells them, get out of here. His whole life he's been encouraging his kids to come to minyan. They always come late. He's trying to get them to come on time. Finally they come. And you're going to tell them, get out of here, you're number 20 and 21. I don't see that. But here's my bigger fear beyond that. Do you know which week this week's Parsha is? Anyone? Tazria Metzora. Now, as the Parshas go, Dr. Daniel probably will agree with me, this is not the most exciting of the Parshas, correct? So even if you have this Yetzer HaTov to learn the Kriya Satorah every week properly, and we'll get to that in a moment, I don't think Tazria Metzora would be high up on your list. So I am assuming this week, this is a Parsha that the majority of the Jewish people don't know how to lane. Therefore, you have 19 people in minyan number one. Let's say you have 19 people in minyan number two. The 19 people in minyan number two want a lane, but they don't have a laner. You all understand, this can be a balagan. We can't use a microphone. This is going to be a major balagan with real ramifications on pikuach nefesh. Therefore, it was no surprise to me that yesterday Rav Asher Weiss said, in his opinion, you should continue with the mirpasot minyans, even though there's a heter to daven in an open space. Because kids will come, because other people will, unfortunately, go ahead and perhaps ruin it for the rest of us. Not because of any malice. They want to daven and in a minyan, and they've been missing it. But, as I said, we're a matter of habit. We want to hear a Kriya Satorah, a Kaddish, and Kedusha. So I'm very nervous about this Shabbos. During the week, I wasn't so nervous. Shabbos, I'm very nervous about. Extremely nervous about. Anyway, with that commercial break, let's go to the Zoom minions. The Zoom minions, as I said, is a misnomer. So why is it that we're encouraging it? There could be two reasons. Number one, it's a nice thing. Why not? Daven together. But number two, there is a halacha in Shulchan Aruch, which again, I think became a bit irrelevant during this situation. And that is that even if you can't come to a minion, you should daven at the same time that the minion's davening. In other words, we've quoted many times, the Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Tzadik, Yishtadel Adam, Yishtadel Ma'od, Yipalel Bebet HaKneset Yim HaTzibor. Best is, davening in a minyan and a shul. If you don't have one or the other, let's say you have a minyan but you don't have a shul, also good. You want to daven be Yechidus, better to daven in a shul than at home. Now, the shuls are closed, we can't get the shul, so we can't get the shul, there's no minyan. There's no minyan, how are we supposed to daven with the minyan? The answer is, indeed, it became irrelevant halacha until Corona ends. Having said that, if we all daven together at Zoom at the same time, perhaps we are fulfilling what the Shulchan Aruch says. Because the Shulchan Aruch never said if you daven at the same time as a minyan, then you're part of the minyan. If I'm at home and you're davening in the Geffen, then due respect, I'm not part of the minyan. I can't be counted for the minyan. But if you say a bracha, I can say amen. So therefore, live of course, not recorded. So therefore, that's the fulfillment, the kiyum of a Zoom minyan. We're all davening at the same time. That's like number three on the list. Number one is davening with a minyan in shul. Number two is either a shul without a minyan without a shul. And number three, davening at the same time. So we're at number three. Not optimal, but that's the situation at hand, and that's what the halacha indeed obligate. So that should be what we should do if we don't have a minyan, daven at the same time as the minyan. So I live in the Zayit, and in the Zayit across the way from where I live on the bridge of a school, they're davening outside, and they put a microphone and an amplifier. So I'm not allowed to go outside because I have what's called a machalot reka, meaning I'm sick regardless of corona. So therefore I'm not allowed to go outside even though many people can. So I look at the minyan, and I listen, and I can daven with them. Shabbos, I won't be able to listen, but I can daven with them. That's number three on the list. So that's what the Zoom minyans, in my opinion, accomplish. And indeed, it's not nothing. It has validity within halacha. Any questions?
Why would Zoom be considered like one room if you're all on the same page, so to speak? It's like you're in the same room.
You're not under the same roof.
Well, it's the roof of the you know what I mean? It's a virtual room. We have a lot of halachic virtual realities. We do that all the time in halacha. There's a virtual, there's a halachic reality.
Where do you know in halacha that we have a virtual tziruf of people? I don't know of any such case.
You have a virtual for this. You have virtual walls in a sukkah.
Virtual walls and a sukkah, says Dr. Sevier. Dr. Sevier, virtual walls and a sukkah can only happen if you have a little wall there already. In other words, if you have a 10 tefachim high wall, say 80 to a meter high, then we consider it as if it goes up all the way to the schach. But if you have nothing, it's nothing.
An eruv
is a tzurat apetach. There's something there. In other words, in order to carry in a reshut harabim derabanan, it's good enough to have a tzurat apetach. You don't actually have to have walls. In a reshut harabim the oraisa, you need walls.
If you ask the average guy, he's going to give you a different answer.
Baruch Hashem, I don't think we paskin halacha based on non-Jews' understanding of halacha.
But how do we say Kaddish then on Zoom if there's nothing really there?
So if you consider Kaddish something that you have to say with a minyan, then indeed you can't do it on Zoom. The reason Rav Melamed said you can was twofolded. Number one, it's an emotional need, as you know, for many people who are in mourning. MOURNING. And number two, he said, there's no brachat levatala. So from this perspective, he doesn't see a big problem to say Kaddish. Kedusha, you say Hashem's name. Baruch Hu, you say Hashem's name. In Kaddish, we don't mention the actual name of Hashem. We say Yitkadavikdei Shmei Rabbah, the name should be great. Therefore, he allowed it. It's like, you're at home, can you read the Torah? We said, yes. There's no Kriyas HaTorah like the Chachamim prescribed because there's no minyan. Having said that, it is considered okay because we're not doing any Brachot Levatala.
So therefore, given a choice of an outside minyan that you can't hear terribly well, you do see the people, versus Zoom minyan where you hear things very well, you would still prefer the outside minyan.
Not that I prefer. I don't care about my preference.
I mean, the halacha would lean towards the outside minyan.
Halachically, to make an entity of people, you need to be under the same roof, or you need to at least see each other. If you don't have any of those, then unfortunately you can't be mitzuraf. This is true with minyan. This is true with other things in halacha. For example, when you make kiddush, one person in the house make kiddush for everyone. If I'm in a totally different reshut and I hear your kiddush through the window, I'm not necessarily yotze. I have to be at the same table, perhaps all sitting down together. So from this perspective, that's why even if you don't hear well, the minyan physically is better than the minyan virtually. There's no such thing as a virtual minyan.
Well, as you just said, the guy blowing shofar in the shul has in mind everyone that hears him, even the people outside the building.
You're right.
You're right.
If I hear the shofar blowing, and not it's amplified, but shofar blowing, namely I'm not in a, as the Gemara says, in a pit where I'm hearing the echo, but the actual shofar blowing, I'm yotze. But Bruce, first of all, you don't need a minyan for shofar blowing. All you need to do is hear the shofar. You don't even need to blow the shofar, we paskin. Therefore, the bracha is to shmoa kol shofar. Doesn't make a difference if I'm in the room, outside the room, I hear the shofar. Minyan, you have to actually be there to be part of the minyan. Okay, so we spoke about a few things that, as I said, are issues that we barely deal with. Namely, we don't necessarily have to worry about not having a minyan in the same room. We're in the same room. We don't have to worry about mugging a vote. We daven in the same shul Friday night. Kriyas HaTorah is a given. We also don't have to worry about it. And here are three examples of things that, so to speak, are there, and we never utilize them until this particular situation. For example, many of you have Sidurim where it says Yom Kippurkan times two. As you know, Yom Kippurkan is written in Aramaic, so we can all understand it. That's one of the biggest jokes on a Shabbos morning. You know, right after the Haftorah, people are getting a little tired. So came along Chazal, said, we're going to wake them up, we're going to tell a joke. What's the joke? We say in Aramaic, so people will understand. Like we say, Halach Ma'anya in Aramaic, people will understand. Ah, okay, Azoy, now I got it. In many Sidurim, the second Yom Kippurkan, which talks about not personal, but congregational, it says, if you're not in the minyan, you don't say the second Yom Kippurkan and Misha Berach. I've been doing that, and I think it's a very, very important thing that here and there you look in the sitter, and you're attentive to what it says there. As you know, if we're all davening in a minyan every day, then it gets boring, and the only time davening gets exciting is where? It's the same davening, every morning. Where does it get exciting? Where all of a sudden do we need to have kavanah? Machloket. Machloket. I'm going to guess the one place that we need to have kavana is Shir Shel Yom. Because God forbid are we going to say the wrong Shir Shel Yom. Everyone will laugh at us. So we better be concentrating at Shir Shel Yom. You know, when you're taking off your tefillin, you're about out the door, that's when you need to concentrate. Kaddish, Kedusha, Baruch Hu, nah! We do that every day. Shir Shel Yom, here we need concentration. So, in general, I think that this particular situation has led itself to people actually looking at davening for two reasons. Number one, they don't have a rabbi, a gabbai who's running things. They have to run things. They have to take responsibility over their own davening. And number two, with no minyan, who's rushing you? Who's making you go slow? Nobody. So it's really up to me to daven and to daven properly. We've said many times around this table that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Avodah Zarah, Daftalit, and other places, that he will never not listen to a congregational davening of a minyan. But if you daven alone, there's no such promise. So you have to do everything possible in order to daven with kavana when you're davening alone. So I have to say that this situation made davening all the more germane to people. And perhaps the following halacha became even more germane. There's a famous, famous chiddush of Rav Chaim Brisker, Rav Soloveitchik's grandfather. And this has been said and reset throughout this period of time. If you know it, just shake your head. And this was basically what he said. He said that in davening, there's certain parts where you need to understand the words. For example, the first bracha of the Amida. You need to have kavana in Shema, perhaps for the first pasuk. But, he said, it's another kind of kavana. And that is to feel that you're standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu in davening. If your mind drifts, your whole davening goes down the drain. In other words, you don't have to have kavana for the actual words. You just have to have kavana. I'm davening before Hashem. Now, in a minyan, sometimes that's difficult. They go too fast, they go too slow, there's talking or whatnot. At home, there's no excuse. So we actually look at the sitter, we actually have to give responsibility over ourselves, plus we have to have more kavana because we don't have a minyan. And I think that was a very positive thing that came out of this very negative and terrible situation. In addition to which, there's a machlokes that we've mentioned many times between the Rambam and the Ramban, if davening is the oraisa or derabanan every day. The Rambam says it's an obligation every day, learned out from the pasuk that we say in Shema, le'ovdo bechol levavchem, and you shall worship God with all your heart. And the Ramban disagrees. He says, le'ovdo bechol levavchem just means you have to serve God with all your heart anytime you do a mitzvah. When is it an obligation to daven the oraisa, says the Ramban? When there's an eight tzara, when there's an actual situation where the Jewish people are in a dire need for mercy from Hashem. I can't think of a more appropriate time than now. So when we daven now, the actual words may be the Rabbana and Minhag or whatnot. But the actual overall mitzvah is the Oraisa, both according to the Rambam, once a day every day, and according to the Ramban, because it's an eight tzara. So you should know that this particular time, we have a real Eitz Hara, because as much as doctors have been wonderful, terrific, and masur, they don't yet have a cure for corona. So indeed, we need a lot of Rachmei Shamayim at this terrible time. So indeed, davening became the Oraisa, and not the Rabbanon, every day. Moving on, we mentioned earlier that above and beyond Kriyas HaTorah, we actually have an obligation to learn the Parsha every week. I always say this is one of the well-kept secrets of Judaism, correct? There's various well-kept secrets of Judaism. Number one, not to speak Lashon Hara. We try to keep that to ourselves because we love speaking Lashon Hara. Rav Soloveitchik once said, the whole book of the Chafetz Chaim, what's the definition of Lashon Hara? His answer was, anything you enjoy telling over. And we all know, if we enjoy it, this guy, this gabbai didn't know what he was doing, and this guy is a dumb guy. We love saying that. Just saying, the Rosh HaMemshalah is wonderful, that's not fun. To say the Rosh HaMemshalah, there's a scandal against him, then we enjoy. Anyway, Lashon Hara, well-kept secret. Second well-kept secret. On Shabbos, you can't ask a non-Jew to do malacha for you. There's exceptions. But the Jewish people say, leave the exceptions to yourself, shut your mouth, We have a Shabbos guy for everything. Number three, well-kept secret, Hilchos Chol HaMoed. I don't know many people that keep Hilchos Chol HaMoed. And number four is what I'm about to say, Shtayim Mikra VeEchad Targum. What is that all about?
Laning the Parsha twice and doing a Targum.
Correct. Laning the Parsha twice and doing a Targum, which is an obligation. It's written in Brachos Daf Chet, and it's Paskin in Shulchan Aruch. I'm not sure why people don't do it. The question, however, arises because the Gemara does say that you have to la'ashlim parshiotav im hatzibur. What do those words mean? You have to make up the parshas with the congregation. In other words, when the congregation is reading Tazria Mitzora, you should make sure to read it Shtayim Mikra VeEchad Targum before they read it. Now, what happens in a situation where we're not reading it? We're not going to shul. Do we have to still do Shtayim Mikra VeEchad Targum? So, I thought perhaps we don't have to for the following reason. Does everyone remember Shabbos Chol HaMoed? So we laned, we didn't lane, but we were supposed to lane Parsha Tzav, and then Pesach came Wednesday night, and Thursday was the first day of Yontif, and Shabbos was Shabbos Chol HaMoed. What was the Parsha that week?
Kisisa.
Actually, your guess is a bit off, Harold. Shmini, if anything. But I just gave an incorrect answer. We didn't lane that Shabbos Parsha Shmini.
Right, but
it's a Shabbos Chol HaMoed. So here's my question. Can you do Shtayim Mikra VeEchad Targum anywhere during those 2 weeks? The answer is not. And I'll tell you why it's not. Because between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, there's always a Shabbos without a Parsha. Namely, Vezot HaBracha we read on Simchas Torah. So once we finish Ha'azinu, we lane Vezot HaBracha on Monday and Thursday, albeit it's not the Parsha of the week. The Nosei Kelim on Shulchan Aruch, if you want to see it inside, end of Chelek Dalet of Mishnah Brura, you could see they have a big machlokas. When is an obligation of Shtayim Mikra VeEchad Targum start for Vezot HaBracha? So if you would have asked me, I'd say any time. He says, no. La'olam yashlim parshiotav imatzibur means you have to do it at a time where the congregation is going to be reading it on Shabbos, and you are filling it in or saying it at home. So therefore, the Nosei Kelim say, maybe the time is Leil Hoshana Rabbah, maybe it's Leil Simchas Torah, but it's not any darn time you please. So if we don't lane in shul on Shabbos, do we even have an obligation to do Shtayim Mikra VeEchad Targum? Because there is no tzibur we're making it up with. So I'll be honest with you, I thought I'd get off the hook. I asked Rav Herschel Schechter, and he publicly actually wrote a psak halacha saying that the actual need of Shtayim Mikra VeEchad Targum according to Hagaot Maimoniot is actually dafka when you don't have a minyan. Namely, if you have a minyan, you're going to hear it anyway. But if you don't, then it's even more of an obligation to lane it on your own, Shtayim Mikra VeEchad Targum. So I couldn't get off the hook on that, but I still think my Hava Amina was good, because when Rav Herschel Schechter published his tshuva, he quoted my Hava Amina, word for word. So I felt very gratified, because at least he considered it a good question. In any case, that's with regard to Shtayim Mikra VeEchad Targum. Pardon?
Did he give you credit for the question?
Nah, it's okay. I think he'll give credit. Okay. Rav Herschel Schechter doesn't need to give me credit. I'm very happy that he even machshivd it in any way, so that's fine. In general, though, I think that Rav Zev's supposed to come in a few minutes. We just have to think about the following, that there's many halachos throughout the year that are talui in a tzibur, meaning dependent upon the congregation. We just mentioned Shtayim Mikra VeEchad Targum as a Hava Amina. We start saying Morid Atal or Mashiva Ruach or Morid Geshem only after the congregation got to it. So even if you're not davening in shul on Simchas Torah or the first day of Pesach, you only change when the tzibur gets to it. Halal on the Seder night, according to many poskim, is just when you daven in a tzibur, in a congregation. And I can go on and on with examples, but I think we have to give a little thought to the fact that there is no congregation. And I'll give you one final halacha with regard to the congregation. Friday nights, when does Shabbos begin? When do I have to go ahead and stop doing melacha? So regardless of the question of Tosefes Shabbos, Shkia, plus a few minutes, the bottom line is, if you're davening in a city, in which you're at home, but the congregation already got to Mizmor Shir LeYom HaShabbos or Baruch Hu, you have to stop doing Malacha yourself. What do we do in a situation where there is no Tzibur? There is no Tzibur. So free for all for everyone? Let's say I'll accept Shabbos 5 minutes before Shkia. And Bruce, he's a wisecracker, he's going to do like Gman Rabbeinu Tam. So it's pitch black, Bruce is going to be shutting off the lights and putting him on. He's doing Gman Rabbeinu Tam on Erev Shabbos. And a fourth guy says, I paskin like the Rambam, there's no Tosefes Shabbos, Shkia. That's when I'm going to stop. I don't know the answer. I really don't know the answer. On a normative time, I really know that it's Talui B'Tzibur. We don't have a Tzibur right now.
Well, here in Efrat, you have one set time for the Zman.
Yes, Harold, we have a set time for the Zman of Hadlakat Neirot. But as you know, that's only for women that light the candles and Paskin like the Bahag. In other words, the Bahag says when you light candles for Shabbos, you're Mekabel Shabbos. And therefore, there's a problem technically. How do you make the bracha? Because if you make the bracha, you can't light the candles at Shabbos. So therefore, many women, Paskin like the Bahag, Ashkenazic women mainly, that you light the candles before the bracha. It's one of the exceptions to the rule of Over La'asiyatan. Assuming that's true, Harold, that's only for women. There is no men that accept Shabbos at Zman Hadlakat Neirot, even in Efrat. And I'll give you my proof for it. When do we daven mincha? Before Hadlakat Neirot or after?
After,
which means we don't accept Shabbos ad Hadlakat Neirot.
10 minutes after.
My debate, and I leave you with this question on that, is the following. Assuming there's no Tzibur, perhaps the women lighting the candles would make Shabbos for all of us at home. For Kol B'nei Abayit. On a normative Friday night, we say the women is accepting Shabbos at the candle lighting, but we have something over the women. We have a minyan that didn't yet accept Shabbos. Not so with regard to when there's no minyan. So the woman has a bahag to hold. I accept Shabbos with the candle lighting. We don't have any such bahag. We don't have a minyan, so perhaps we have to daven mincha before candle lighting of the women, because women that accept Shabbos have to daven mincha before candle lighting. I leave you with this question. I don't know the answer, and I hope that Bezrat Hashem, it will be irrelevant as the weeks go on. We'll go back to davening in a minyan, and we don't have to deal with it. But, Baruch Hashem, the Limud Torah of these halachos, which until now was only like Ben Soreru More, like many other halachos in the Torah that was never relevant, but only Drosh VeKabel Sachar, Baruch Hashem, they became relevant, and Mirtz Hashem will go back to learning them, even when they're not relevant.
Thank you, Rabbi Grunstein.
Rabbi Zef, I am muting my microphone.
Thank you very much. We'll see you next week. Stay well.
Kol Tov, everyone.